Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
I don't have a topic for the charge I have this evening, but it is something centered around the ironic disadvantages of excellence. Excellence has disadvantages. I mean, let's start from the positives. There are some things that you experience, good things that you experience, that change the quality of your life forever. From that moment, your expectation changes. Your expectation changes. The day you go to a good hotel, every mediocre hospitality service begins to annoy you. You begin to see errors in everything. And if you've had people who really care about you in your space, maybe friends, family, it now holds everyone else to a higher standard. And so in general, excellence is a good thing, and that's why we celebrate it. But there are aspects in which excellence can be a disadvantage. You see, we don't understand the subconscious implications of good exposure. What I'm telling you, simple as it is, has destroyed homes. I've seen people who were in relationships that were admittedly toxic. That's why they ran out of them. But the good things in that relationship, maybe the fellow had some cash. He slapped you a few times, but he had money. And now God has given you a good man, but he's never good enough. Some of you know what I'm saying. At a foundational level, in every aspect of our lives, excellence is a very good thing. I mean, coming from me, I like good stuff. And I encourage people to give everything they are doing their best. The Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it as unto the Lord. And so that holds you to a very high standard. But what do you do when your excellence is subconsciously affecting your devotion and you don't even see it? Or let me say the things we call excellence in 2026. And these are the dangers of sophistication. Church wasn't always this difficult. It literally happened in people's houses. You don't have to be intelligent to know that there weren't any keyboards. You see what is happening right now as I'm talking, the ambient sound from the keyboard. Good stuff. It has its place. It's helpful. But when you come to a point where your prayer life is now powered by electricity, where if there is no music playing in the background, no playlist on YouTube to depend on, no tongue compilation as you are praying, and you cannot pray, you don't even see that you have changed. Are you getting what I'm saying here? That's what I'm talking about. Thank God for this fantastic venue that God has given us. Every time I walk in here, I still can't believe my eyes. Like, I think there is something about raw audacity of faith. You don't even realize that you are beside yourself. And so when it happens, even you are shocked, if that makes sense. Because what you believe from your spirit is different from what you believe from your mind many times. So I was working with some of our team members. I think it was during the carol service last December, just walking in the veranda of the office area. And I said, guys, we are crazy. What did we just do? God really did this. But do you know you can get to a point where you no longer take churches that don't have AC seriously? There are people who have told me they cannot attend the church without AC. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? So now, these now become the issues. The venue has to be central, and the sound system has to be good. You know, nothing has really brought this to the fore, especially for me recently, as our cell churches. All over the world, there are people who love this ministry, are committed to this ministry, and they will go through grave inconvenience just to be part of this assembly. I've told you time and again because of how shocking it was for me when I saw the pictures of people, more than 50 people, streaming from an 18-inch TV. I didn't even know those TVs still exist. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? He was so small, but he didn't care. They enjoyed, you know, the fellowship of the brethren and all of that. And so we said, come on, we see your passion, but let's now try to help. And boy, everything is expensive. Almost every sophisticated equipment is above 10 million. It takes more than anointing to do church now. I'm telling you, I wish I could go one by one. You see, a good sound system, good pair of subs, and you will usually need four for an average CCI venue. Price it. Worship is getting costly. Any keyboard you buy less than 5 million, you will need to change in 18 months. These days. Are you listening to me? For some of our branches, the kind we call flagship branches, you will see drum, 8 million without chair. You will buy the chair separately, buy the cymbal separately. I'm telling you the fact. And so now there's that sophistication when it comes to the venue. And then when it comes to the worship itself. Now, check this out yourself. Listen to throwback worship songs. What do you discover? Immediately you discover the vast difference. Worship was a lot simpler. I mean, even 10 years back. I'm not even saying go back to Ron Kenoly, Don Moen. Just 10 years back, it was a lot simpler. We don't realize that our modus operandi, our service programming, is compensating for our distracted lifestyle. So now, everything has to be heavy in the background. As a drummer, I can tell you, in those days, you will play for a while and every few minutes you crash the cymbals. But now, CCM, you know, you just keep it. Listen, all these things have their pros and cons. I'm not talking against it. I'm just putting the spotlight on your soul. What is going on there? Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? What is going on there? Because if you don't master the boredom of consistent devotion, you will never be happy in your walk with God. Never. Never. Some of you, your personal devotion no longer blesses you because you need a full production to be blessed. You need a full production for the Spirit to move. Some of you know what I'm saying. And your walk with God just feels dry because subconsciously, what you experience on Sundays in what we call an excellent service offering has now created a standard. And all those embellishments, all right, and the aggregate of all those things together, the mood, the floor, the lights, the keyboard, the drums, all the four or five parts of the singing voices now create an expectation. And now you have become attuned to all those things intercepting for the spirit to move. Now in your room, in the morning, you wake up, it's just you. Nobody to sing with you, no background voice, no keyboard. And maybe God helps you, especially recently, no lights. You know, someone told me there was a period where the National Grid, one of the 155 times that the grid collapsed, you know, last year. And she said, I discovered how dependent I have become on my device to pray. Because it seems harmless. You just need to play something. You just need to play something. You just need to play something. And many of us don't even realize we have distracted ourselves from the voice of God. There's too much going on for us to hear Him. One simple hack to consistent devotion is to make sure you find a way to reset and come back to the normal setting of simplicity. Do that as regularly as possible. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Oh my God. What I'm saying works with every aspect of devotion. How many old sermons still stir you up? Have you noticed all the greats of old? They taught simple things, straight to the points. Point one, point two, point three. Are you getting what I'm saying? It seems like there's a lot of knowledge now, and it has its blessings, but it's also part of our problems. Our notes are full, but no action. You know the 15 word variations for power, dunamis, kratos, you know all of the but how's that going for you? And listen to this and never forget this. It is very demonstrable that many times what we call revival is the restoration of simplicity. You don't know how profound what you just heard is. I said many times revival is the restoration of simplicity. I can tell you both in Bible days and in current days, you see, from a historical standpoint, I'm not even saying this as an apology. Okay, from a historical standpoint, somebody rose up in the name Martin Luther to say that the Catholic Church had become too sophisticated in their doctrine and in their practices, and they had so many extra biblical practices and traditions as far as he was concerned. Inventions of the purgatory, you know, and the penance and all these things. And so he came roaring that salvation was by faith and by grace alone. It was a restoration of simplicity. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? That all these other things, the ones that are helpful, are at best helpful. Righteousness does not come by sacraments or by vigils or by fasting. It comes by faith. It was the restoration of simplicity. And the example I've given you time and again, when Christ was going to come, the person that God chose to announce that Christ was already amongst them and that the kingdom of heaven was at hand was somebody who, though was born to a Levitical priesthood, did not serve in the temple. Come on, now you get what I'm saying? It was a gentle revolution. He went to the wilderness. Come on, now you get what I'm saying? As if to say a lot of sacrifices happening there, but that is part of the problem. The sophistication is the problem. So this is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. God chose the wilderness. Read about the temple, how beautiful they looked. Solomon's temple, all the gold and the brass and all the sophistication, the brilliance of architecture, it was a world wonder. And also, don't forget, it was situated on a plain in such a way that anywhere in Jerusalem you could look. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Look up to it. It was quite a sight. But when something that was to be the most important announcement of that age was going to be born, God chose someone eating locust and honey in the wilderness. And also notice how we protected his simplicity. Are you Elijah? No. Are you getting what I'm saying here? And sometimes God does it deliberately. Gideon, I'm going to birth a great deliverance by your hands, but not with this many people. Let's make it small. Let's keep it simple. And so we are going to disqualify many people to even start. My friend, that's the God of the Bible. Oh. Tell the person by your side, say, keep it simple. Tell someone else, say, keep it simple. Are you listening to me? And there are some ways that we can do that, and that's what I want to share with us. All right? That's what I want to share with us. How can I restore simplicity to my devotional life? It's what I want to share with us. Are you learning anything? I said, are you learning anything?
Yes, sir.
Number one is the discipline of repetition. The discipline of repetition. Please, what did I call it? In such a way that, let me tell you something. If a sermon really blessed you, don't listen to another one yet. Stay there. Listen to that one 20 times first before you move. It's not always a flex that you finish the Bible in 1 year. I'm waiting for it to sink very well. Okay, you finished last year. Come and tell us how your life changed. Now, you are keeping a target. You are reading it like newspaper. And he said this. he said this, the discipline of repetition. Those of you who have had encounters with God, will know that there will be seasons in your devotion where God will emphasize a topic and make you stay. You want to move on, but he brings you back. Stay on this one. Stay here. The discipline of repetition. There will be seasons in your devotion. You will pray the same thing every day. And you see that in Jesus' life. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the single prayer could be divided into three because he went in three times, repeating the same words. The discipline of repetition. And that's the language of heaven, that the 24 elders for aeons have repeated the same thing and they are not bored. See, let me tell you something. One of the proofs that you're beginning to touch something really powerful and divine, is that you enjoy simple things. Listen to me. It's one of the ways I can tell that a person's walk with God is healthy. When a simple song makes you cry. A simple statement. See, Jesus is Lord has set me up for 3 days before. That's that statement. Jesus is Lord. I was praying and it hit my spirit. These are some of the signs. You put a song on repeat. Are you listening? Not that in 1 hour you have listened to 250 songs. And even the sermon you listened to was on times two. Stay well, let the bullet touch you. What's wrong with you? Put your head well. Please don't get me wrong. I do it from time to time. It's helpful. You feel relieved, Abby? Oh yeah, calm down. But all I'm saying is, haste doesn't do you so much good. It doesn't. This desire to just take in as much information as quickly as possible. Do you realize it's one of the prophecies of the end times, that knowledge will increase. Do you know some of us, that's the exact problem. We know too much. You know so much, it's hard for God to teach you. You know, you don't understand. God was trying to teach Peter in Acts 10. He said, take, kill, eat. He said, no, Lord. Guinness World Record. First person to correct God. Is there? He said. No, Lord. For I cannot eat what is unclean. Meaning, what you are asking me to eat. Not so, Lord. Notice the exclamation mark. Mind you, this was not his first time. When Jesus said he was going to die, he grabbed him and started correcting him. Why will you talk like that? Don't you know that in chapter this, verse this, it is written, you shall not die. But leave to declare the book. Have you seen genuine but forward Christians before? Forward. There was somebody, he came for counseling. When he left, I told one of my protocols, I don't want to see him again. I will not, but he will not know, except he's watching his sermon. I was just, I'm busy. It was torture. He sat in front of me and talked throughout. So now, when he finished talking, he now says, so what do you think? I said, I agree. Before my reply will remind you of something. I said, you are correct. Do you know that simple thing? Some people don't even know who to keep quiet before. They don't know that. You sit before a mentor and you are just blah, 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 blah. You know too much. Why are you here? God said I should do this. What do you think? Eh? Amy? If are you trying to set me up? You already said God said. You don't need to see me. Don't ever ask me about my opinion on something you said God said. Don't come here. Repetition. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, I said something, and I'll say it again. Take note of the people who think that their spiritual work is too sophisticated, too mature for daily devotion. You know, have you heard people talk against it? That you're reading devotional, just 300 words on a daily basis. Those people struggle with consistency. Almost all. They struggle with consistency. This is how I know you are growing. When simple things bless you, it might be devotion. And you see, when you start doing ministry, you now realize that sometimes the reservoir that the Spirit draws from might be something you read and you didn't even think was so important. And now, something is happening, you need to pray for someone, and it's from that well God draws from. You want to change your life? Embrace the boredom of consistency. Are you getting what I'm saying? Embrace anybody who has tried to pray at a particular time every day. We'll know that most of the time, you won't see, it will be as if I'm explaining it so that you know it's not just you. You pray, finish, you're like, what was that? God, did I offend you? Is everything okay? You don't even respond. Your only consolation will be the word. He that comes to the Father must believe that he is. And is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You don't have to feel rewarded to be rewarded. If they send you money, do you feel it? You may feel it when you see it. When you see the alert. Has someone sent you money? It entered your account, but you didn't know. For some reason, you didn't get the alert until you checked your bank app. That's what I'm saying. You won't feel it. You don't have to feel rewarded to be rewarded. It's the consistency, the repetition. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Oh? The next thing I want to say is, another way to keep the simplicity is by gratitude. Sophisticated people are sometimes ungrateful because it has to be big, grand. You know, you're always looking for the next thing. You've not enjoyed what God has done. You've not enjoyed what God has done. And they're usually competitive people also. Can I talk to you? Stop trying to be the best singer in the world. And thank God for the time you sang and people drew closer to God. Stop trying to be the best preacher in the world. And thank God for the people who believe in your ministry enough to be committed to what you have to say. Stop trying to be the richest man in the world. You've not even taken time to appreciate that, you see, that job you have, some will give anything to be in your shoes. Are you getting what I'm saying? Grateful people are simple people. It's when you are grateful, there are many things that people gloss over that you stay on. That's what I'm saying. It's a simple strategy to keep simplicity. God, see what you did for me. See what you did. And heaven always remembers. God always keeps stock of people who thank him. Always. So don't think that when somebody turns and gives thanks, he won't count. He will say, there were 10 who were cleansed. He counted. Jesus. Did you hear what I just said? He counted. So could it be that when he blessed you, there were 30 others he blessed too? And maybe you don't even realize you were the only one who didn't come back. He counted, though. He counted. You set a goal that by now, you would have done this, taught the world. By your calendar, you should be on your 8th country by now. But here you are. Streaming from Ogbomosho. But guess what? Maybe if not for the mercy of God, you wouldn't even have been alive. You get what I'm saying? If you deliberately keep a culture of gratitude, you preserve simplicity. You preserve simplicity. You know, there's a popular woman of God in this country. We're ministering in the same conference. And so I had the opportunity to fly with her back. And I kid you not, in a 1-hour trip, she thanked God 10 times for simple things. So someone chartered a private jet for us. So now, I know she has flown the private jet many times. As soon as she sat, say, God, who am I? Who am I? Not so long ago, I was hawking. I put a tree on my head, hawking on the streets. What am I doing here? And I was observing. Not only that, she had a note of thanksgiving. He will write it. He will type it. She would type it and put tears. She would write tears. I'm like, see, some other children of God, they give us bad name. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know the way, as a parent, maybe there are some things you don't really mind, but when one child does it well, and I'm like, you get what I'm saying? So I'm like, so all of us are children of God like this. So I just quietly faced the window. Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you. Thank you too. See, I repented from that, you know. I repented. I'm generally a grateful person, but you get what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Don't let God have to remind you. You know, when God reminded David, oh, wow, you're so great now. You've come a long way from when I removed you from watching few sheep. Now you have a whole nation as an audience. There was a time you were writing great songs and all your audience was sheep. Sheep. You wrote songs and only meh. That was all the response. And I picked you from there. To the palace. I did that. Listen, I give you a few seconds. Thank God for seven simple things. Seven simple things. Seven simple things. Seven things. Seven simple things. Do you realize when he chose you, he had options? When you chose me, you had options. Thank you. 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 Thank him for your health. Thank him for your job. Yes, that same job. The tough one, the one they've threatened to sack you from. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank you. Thank you. For the grace that you have given us, we can never repay you, but from our hearts, we like to say that we. For the grace that you have given us, We can never repay you, but from our hearts we like to say that we just thank him. Thank him. Sing your own song. It's part of what I'm teaching you. Thank you, Lord. 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 I'm not the most prayerful. I'm not the most faithful. I've seen your grace. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Another way you train yourself to keep to the simplicity of devotion is by staying. What did I call it? Just stay. See, let me tell you. Part of the blessings of praying long is that you run out of prayer points. It does something to you. You may not have seen that as a blessing, but it's important. Let's see what happens where your wisdom stops, where your eloquence stops, where you stop. See, let me, those of you who have prayed long, you know that when you first start, even your tongues have so many syllables. Ratongra, iketuva, ikefelakura, asekelokuvre, eloquence. When you enter our seven, you see that baby? Ratata, rat, that's a man of God right there. When you enter our seven, there's no energy to be dispensing. Master saying, raw. 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 But you will discover that each time you say it, there is more weight. Learn to stay. And that's why, you see this tarry thing, we will keep it. You see, this generation might be in trouble. There are people who genuinely think 3 hours is long. You don't know the implication. You may not be able to receive anything notable in terms of direction from heaven if you don't know how to stay. I'm telling you. See, I'm not a prophet of doom. There are many notable things you will miss in your life if you don't know how to sit with God. 3 hours long, once a week. And it's usually people who don't attend midweek service. I know what I'm saying. Do you know? Some of you know what I'm saying. I'm not talking about when God sovereignly chooses to talk to you. He can talk to you anytime. When you're in the toilet, when you're watching a movie, anytime. Do you know what it means to seek the Lord? Some of you have not done it before. You don't know what I'm saying. You don't know what I'm saying. To have a question and get the answer. So if 3 hours is, I'm genuinely afraid for you. This is how you want to do your life? Some don't even understand. You don't get it. These things take time. When Jesus said, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" What do you think he's doing? See, let me tell you. Deliberately learn to stay. I've told you before, part of the curses is a curse of social media addiction is you don't realize it. The most important quality of spirit that gives you the leverage to be able to pick information from that other side is stillness. If you don't know how to be still anymore, your life is under attack. You see, let me tell you something. It's not just prayer. The fact that as you are sitting now, every few minutes, like even in this sermon, maybe you just, as you are listening, you just scrolled to just see what's going on, you know, just to be in touch with the world and all of that. See, it happens to the best of us. But what I'm saying is, there must be seasons of devotion in your life where you keep that phone away. You set an alarm, and until it rings, don't touch that phone. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? You must learn to stay. To be sure you're following, what's the first thing I mentioned? What is number two? What is number three? Number four, make God the focus. Make God the focus. As long as God remains the focus, your life will remain simple because your life will remain about the bottom line. Are you getting what I'm saying? Ministers of the gospel can very easily get distracted when you're looking at others. When God is the focus, your life will remain simple. When you look at others, you will lose gratitude. You know what I'm saying now, don't you? You will lose gratitude. A lot can be going on in your life, and you are not happy. Jealousy is a dangerous thing. I've seen people have a great life. The small God gave somebody is giving them sleepless nights. It's a disease. And one simple thing can cure it. Just keep Christ as the focus. Leave other people and keep Christ as the focus. Are you listening to me? The final thing I want to talk about is be a doer. I've already talked about it in passing. I think it was some point 2 years ago, I said I won't read any book till further notice. Knowledge choke. Let me do. Are you listening to me? Let me do. Don't just at the end of the year say, I've read 55 books. Well, what have you done with the knowledge? Which one of the books actually genuinely changed your life? Actually, which one of them genuinely changed your life? Revival is often the re-emphasis of simplicity. The restoration of simplicity. That's what it is. Let there be a restoration of simplicity in your life. Just the simple things. Once upon a time, simple songs. Not too much instrument. Just take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my mind torment and my days, let them flow. I'll give you one last point, and this one is very important. In your worship, focus on the substance. So, think of every song without the beats, and make sure that the lyrics actually make sense. Make sure it's the lyrics you are responding to. When you do this, your life will change. You will now see many songs went unnoticed. Solid songs from heaven went unnoticed. Ah, my God. Many great songs have gone unnoticed. Many great songs. What song is heaven interested in? It's a very subjective question. We'll not know until we get there. But one thing we know is this. Heaven will always pay attention to the revelation of God's word. And Christ is the revelation of God. So, don't fall for the trap of looking for simpler songs. We must go back to songs that have multiple verses. Not all the time, but sometimes. Don't go the lazy route. Amen, somebody. Paul Thomason is here. My favorite songs of his are the lengthy ones. The lengthy ones. Great Story and the one he just released, Reckless Love. Those are the ones I love. The lengthy ones. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. And centered on theology. Are you getting what I'm saying? Please rise to your feet. I'm done.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.